And it says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you be with us now. Lord, be with me. Lord, help my lungs, help my brain, Lord, that I might not be a distraction from your word tonight. And Lord, I pray that from these great words of comfort, Lord, we find strength. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Now, this does not mean male as gender. This means man as in mankind. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. You know what? I've seen people go through terrible things who had tremendous character strength. You ever meet people like that? Man, they used to put people like that on the news all the time. Your little kid has cancer, had just the sweetest and strongest spirit. Somebody would be going through a hard time, and you just see them not just take it in stride, but have a good attitude and a good heart and be strong about it. Now, a good spirit, a strong spirit, a healthy spirit, a godly spirit will get you through just about anything, right? I mean, you consider this, all the things that we've gone through. Sometimes you're good-natured about things. Sometimes you just get frustrated. If you can keep a good nature going through things, well, it'll keep you going through the whole thing. There are some people that at the drop of a hat and at the slightest inconvenience, they lose their mind. They're maybe not good-spirited people. You know, I worked with somebody one time. Man, if they got her coffee wrong at Starbucks, and she'd get Starbucks every morning, if they got her coffee wrong, we knew it was going to be a bad day. Robin, how are you? Oh, no, they messed up my coffee. Oh, boy. Everybody lock in. It's going to be a rough one. And then you've got some people who go through life with all manner of debilitating things going on, and they keep a good, solid spirit. There are a lot of things that try our will, right? Many of you sit there, the number one thing, what happens to all of us? Age. Age. Anybody here, you sat there, man, when I used to, I watch my kids go to sleep sometimes. I was looking at Melody yesterday. She decided she didn't want to sleep in the traditional way. She wanted to sleep with her head where her feet go and her feet where her head goes. But she ended up being in this weird cat-like position with half her back off to the side of the bed. Folks, if my pillow moves, it's going to be a slow morning. He said, that never used to be. Used to be I could sleep in a tree and be okay. Age comes for us. Some people, they're good-natured about it. Some people, they let it ruin them. But with a good heart, oh, a good attitude, we can rejoice in these things. Again, it hurts. Again, it's terrible. Again, it's no fun. But a good spirit will help you sustain that. Illness. Oh, illness. I'm not just talking about the coughs and colds we have now. We're talking serious illnesses. Things that take you out of church for weeks on end. Things that take you out of mobility for weeks on end. Things that leave you left alone in bed. Man, what a miserable thing to have to be in. And we pray. There's been folks in our membership. We've got folks. They have a hard time coming in. We pray for you folks. We love you folks. We understand. You know, I've met some people, well, I'm very self-conscious because I miss a lot of church. I said, well, you miss a lot of things. You're in pain. You're struggling. You're sick. And have you ever been in that position where you had a hard time getting out doing something because you were ill? Isn't that the most miserable you've ever been? Hey, listen, if you're out for a while, I want you to remember that that's what we're thinking about, is that you're at home miserable and we miss you. I don't want anybody sitting there thinking, man, I don't want, people must think terrible things about me. No, you're sick, and we understand that. And think about Sister Cherry. Sister Cherry, for decades, had a hard time getting in. We understand. You know, when we got some hard illnesses out there, it really tries your patience. It really tries your strength of character. It tries your spirit. But for those that can sit there and say, well, this is where God wants me to be. I kind of joked about that at the start. Listen, if you're at home because you're too sick to go or things get canceled because of illness, don't fret over that. Rejoice. We're going to enjoy this. We're going to do the best we can with this. And so often I attribute that to my mom and dad. We never had much, but we did everything we could with what we had. Everything we had no idea. My brother and I, we had no idea we didn't have the money other people had. We had no idea. All right, we were going to go to the store. We're going to get this coat. Almost everything we got on a layaway. Remember layaway? Nowadays, you just slap it on a high-interest credit card. Man, you used to have layaway. I wish they'd bring that back. But, man, we'd always be going to Kmart to pay the layaway. Mom, when do we stop paying layaway? Just as soon as we stop paying layaway for Christmas, we start paying layaway for next year's school clothes. We had no idea. That's not how most people did things. But we did the best with what we could. We didn't always go to the fancy places. We didn't eat out. We didn't do a lot of stuff. We were taught to do the best with what we have. And I appreciate my mom and dad for doing that. We see Paul mirror that same kind of same kind of idea. I was taught no matter what to be what? Content. I've learned to be content. And again, the pain, man, ain't nothing about it, man. That's terrible. The discomfort, man, I wish there was a string of words I could put together that would take away pain and discouragement and frustration. I wish there was. But let's face it, there's very little we can do. Brother Tim, not to pick on him, but he was talking about going to see the pain management doctor. 28th, right? 28th to go to see the pain management doctor. That seems about ridiculous as possible to me. What's that? You're in pain? Wait for a little bit. How many of you have gone to the doctor? Hey, doc, this is what's going on. That looks pretty bad. Here's some exercises. It hurts to move it. Yeah, here's some exercises. Or this one. Oh, doc, this is what's going on. Well, you need to lose some weight or you're too old. Doesn't that bother you? So, some of you sit there shaking your head. Oh, I've heard both, brother. Like you're supposed to lose weight and age and it's going to be fine now. It's frustrating. I can't help you with that. But what I can do is help your spirit. There's going to be rough stuff. But the spirit, a strong spirit, can withstand these things. It'll uplift the rest of you. Man, illness, broken bones, whatever have you, all can be born on a good spirit. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But the latter part of the verse, but a wounded spirit who can bear. See, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, we didn't talk about having a wounded spirit. That's not manly. It's not masculine to have a wounded spirit. Because all the people in the movies, right, Sylvester Stallone, you could shoot that man 15 times, he'll finish the movie. Arnold Schwarzenegger, you could drop a planet on him. And that's our image of what a man is. If it hurts, don't talk about it. If it bothers you, you just slap a Band-Aid on it. Listen, if I broke a bone, would I do something about it? Or would I sit there and say, no, I'd go get it taken care of. Wouldn't you? Here's the problem, is these things, they weigh on us, and they weigh on us, and they weigh on us. And you know what it ends up doing? It chips away a little bit of our resolve. Slowly drives you crazy. And then what happens? We end up with what this verse describes here is with a wounded spirit. We become frustrated. We become discouraged. They've documented eagles in the wilderness. They'll illustrate this perfectly. An eagle at flight, isn't it a beautiful thing? I mean, we've got eagles around here. I love watching an eagle. I love being out there and stumbling across one. They are gorgeous, gorgeous animals. But when they're sick, it is one of the saddest things you'll ever see. The feather coloring ain't right. Things will start to fall apart. They suffer. They don't fly. And for a small period of time, if there's other eagles around, they'll drop food down. But that bird, with all of its pain and all of its discomfort, won't eat. Many of us, we get to be the same way. Grief will do it to you. Long-term suffering will do it to you. Frustration over long periods of time. a lack of resolving in any issues. Man, that is one of the biggest things, is we try to solve problems and try to solve problems and no solution comes. And what happens to our spirit? It gets wounded. It becomes too much for us. It is far too much weight on a bridge that's built with lesser materials. You know, it's important for us to consider every now and then that we have a wounded spirit. It's important for us. Hold on, brother. No, it is. It is. Because how do you mend something if you're denying that it's wounded? Any of you men do that? You'll sit there. You'll be beaten near half to death. You'll come home. Your wife will ask you, how you doing? Good. She'll watch you stretch. Oh. You okay? Yep, I'm fine. And inside you're going, you're not fine. We hide these things. Why? Because we're tough. You know, you can't fix something you won't admit is broken. You can't heal something you won't admit is wounded. There are disappointments, there are frustrations, there's irritations, there's pain, there's grief. There's all manner of things like the devil's darts that I preached about that suck away at your strength. And if we don't go to God and say, Lord, I am wounded, there's not much you're going to be able to tolerate. I have seen this firsthand. The ability to tolerate the patience and long suffering of a person reduced to nothing. Why? They've got a wounded spirit. There's something off inside of them, so they fire quick. And I've known many people that would talk about that. They say, hey, listen, I just don't have the patience I used to have. I don't have the faith I used to have. I don't go to God the way that I should. I just erupt. Why? Because there's a woundedness. And be honest with you, this world has many clever things that they try to institute to make us feel better. That, to be honest with you, don't really. I knew a lady. Oh, she was so frustrated in life. She was having issues making ends meet. And she was having a hard time making her rent. And I said, hey, listen, do you want me to go over your stuff with you? And maybe we can help you get that rent in and it'd be all right. She says, yeah, sure, fine. That'd be good. So she brought in her stuff. And I sat there. You know what she had? She didn't have an income problem. She had an outgo problem. And I looked at her and I said, hey, listen, I go, you're getting your nails done like 3 times a month. She goes, yes, I'm so stressed out. I got to find ways to take care of myself. It's self-care. Oh, okay. Is your stove working okay? Your refrigerator good? She goes, yeah, why? I go, you eat out once, sometimes twice a day. I go, That might be part of your problem. And I always sat there and I just kind of highlighted some things. I go, if you could just curtail some of no, that's self-care. I have to do it. Why? Because I'm so frustrated. And I believe it, man. You got problems, even if you cause them yourself. If you've got problems for a long enough time, that spirit will break like gingerbread. It'll snap. But you know what? You know what you could do? You could fix the problem. You fix the problem. And that's, well, you got to take care of yourself. You got to have self-care, right? You're feeling sad about yourself. You know what you need? You need an $80,000 car that starts itself. I don't know what those Cybertrucks are. Man, those Cybertrucks are ridiculous. I don't know why I get so mad about those things. I hope I don't offend anybody, but I think that's one of the most ugliest things you could drive around in. I got a buddy who just bought one of those Teslas, not the trucks, but he bought one. Look, it could drive itself around the parking lot. I go, okay, why? Listen, if I'm going to take the time to charge a thing, I'm going to ride in the thing. I'm not just going to have it doing donuts to entertain me. You could go buy one of those down at Walmart for $12. If you want to watch something drive around in circles, I'll settle that for you real quick. I got to eat out. I got to have fancy this and fancy that. I got to have the top of the line this or this thing over there. And that will fix my broken spirit. You know what people realize? At least I hope they realize soon. Those things don't do anything. they distract you for a while. They distract you. And what we need is a better solution. Because with a wounded spirit, you're not going to be able to hold up against those things. If our spirit is broken, we lose courage. We lose courage. Man, you talk to some people, well, hey, are you coming to church? Nah, I don't think so. I just don't feel like it. All right, wait, you want to come to the gym with me? You want to go out to grab a cup of coffee? You want to? No, I'm not up to it. What happens? That's a wounded spirit. Now, listen, it'd be easy for us to put boots to tail on this thing and say, all right, well, if you're going to be a man, you're going to be a grown-up, you got to knock that off. You got to handle this. But we got to deal with the fact that what we're looking at is a wounded spirit, right or wrong. It's a wounded spirit. Either they wounded their own spirit, they wore their own selves out, or it happened to them. We've got to adjust this wounded spirit. We lose strength. We lose strength. Things we used to be able to handle, things we used to be able to tolerate, things we used to be able to do. All of a sudden you wake up and your brain and your body won't participate in it. I'm talking about spiritual things as well as I am anything else. Man, when you get to talking to people, I don't know if I want to go to work today. Why? I just feel down. That's a wounded spirit. There has to be an answer for it. There has to be something we do to approach this problem. We lose strength of will. Where we begin to change, we begin to compromise on things that we used to do. We begin to compromise in points that where we used to be strong in character, we begin to give those things away. Hey, listen, I used to do this for the Lord. I used to act like this. I used to read this much. I used to do these things. But now, man, I have a hard time. My old nature, this temptation, it beats me every time. And that's a miserable place to be in when temptation always beats you. That is a hard life where the smallest amount of temptation gets you. Man, somebody sent me home with a bag of cookies. I'm not going to blame anybody. And I was good. I kept it zipped. I only opened it once and it was to offer it to somebody else. I didn't touch it. I took that thing home and somebody saw the bag. Somebody wanted one, so I gave them one and I had one. And then everybody had one, because that's what sharing is. And then somebody came back and they said, can I have another one? And I said, no, because one is good. So I said, you know what, I can't give them two, so here's what I'm going to do. I'll break this one in half and we'll share it. Do you see how quickly temptation just beat me up? It's not good when temptation has you so easily. Whether it's cookies, whether it's cussing, whether it's whatever. It's no good when temptation can beat you as though you are nothing. You being a child of God, you being a saved person, you knowing the cost of your sin, it is sad when it can beat us so easily. What we need is strength. What we need is the Lord. Folks, self-care ain't going to cut it. Telling some doctor over and over again how it's your mommy's fault isn't going to help you. I've talked to people that have gone through that cycle. People who've gone through that cycle for years. And they knew that they did one thing because their dad was a bad person. They did another thing because their mom was a bad person. Not actually bad people, but just didn't teach them right. So it's mom and dad's fault. So that's why I am the way that I am. Not actual evil things that mom and dad did. Just everything I do wrong is because mom and dad weren't enough. And my teachers were mean to me in school. I wouldn't turn in assignments and they'd give me Fs. And that really hurt my self-esteem. And they had just a laundry list of why every one of their failures was somebody else's fault. Now again, not nothing evil done to them by their own admission. Nothing evil done, just not enough done for them. And in the end I go, Well, are you ever going to get any better from any of these things? Well, no, I'm like this forever because of the trauma these people put. Well, what physical thing did they do to you? What emotional thing did they do? Did they cuss at you, yell at you, throw you through a plate glass window? What'd they do to you? Well, nothing. They just weren't the people they needed to be to make me a stronger person. So it's, that's a sad way to live. But this is the best we can muster as people. We'll either drug you, sedate you, distract you, or keep you coming back to give me money so you could talk about how it was old dear old mommy's fault. I messed up with my mom today. Not today, it was a couple days ago. This is bad. You ever see that movie, Mommy Dearest? My mom showed us that movie when we were kids. If I had a therapist, I'd tell him about making my mommy making me watch that movie. Somebody had made a Christmas tree out of wire hangers. And I sent it to my mom, my dad, and my brother. And I said, do you remember when mom used to make us watch this? Mom took it offensive. She thought that I was making a statement. I wasn't. I go, no. I go, I'm sorry. Now listen, we can't blame other people. We can't sit there and try to distract ourselves, give people money to hear us whine about our past. That's not going to make things better. What do we need? We need a correction to the spirit, and there's only one that can help us do that. Go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 for me. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. You're familiar with this? I think I might have quoted it this morning. Isaiah 9, 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Because of Christ, we are not stuck with a wounded spirit. The greatest damage your spirit ever took was when by sin it was dead. When it was dead in trespasses and sins, that was the greatest wounding you could ever get. And what did he do for us? He died on the cross that we may live. If you are here today and the wounding that is to your spirit is the fact that you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there will be no amends to the hurt that you have until you are made alive again in Christ. And you look out in this world and you'll see that what I'm saying is true. They have Band-Aid fixes. They have distraction fixes. They have short-term distractions. But what they do not have is what Christ can give you, and that is new life. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And what was he given for? The remission of our sins. What did that word given mean? He came down to earth. He stayed with us for a while. He died. And one of the most painful and cruel ways man could imagine, he died. And he rose again. To what? Our love and adulation? To a great big banner with streamers and all, congratulations. Oh, wonderful. Come, welcome back. Oh, thank you, Lord. No, no. Nobody was there. Because when we counted to three, we were coming to lay him to rest forever. There was no belief among his people that he'd actually come back 3 days, and there was nobody there to welcome him back. And the only people going there were set to entomb him forever. That is how he comes back. He was given. Given all the way to us. And oh, how he loved us while he was here. Teaching, and teachings that we still have today. That we may have them and learn by them and grow by them. He was given. It says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. I talked about this morning. There's a lot of things going on in the world. But because he lives, there's very few we actually have to be worried about. Now, that's not to say, I'm not in Candyland. I'm not Joel Osteen who thinks, hey, as long as you've got the right amount of faith, you'll be filthy, stinking rich without a single problem in the world. You'll be the healthiest duck in the whole pond. No, you're going to suffer. But you ain't got to worry about it. God will provide. Whether it's your bills, whether it's your health, whether it's persecution, whether it's your job, whether it's whatever, God will provide. Sometimes we miss his provisions because we don't count our blessings. We don't consider our resources. We have unrealistic expectations of ourselves. But if we stop and we look, we will find we always have what we need. We are great. We should be grateful for it. Again, using this time of year as an illustration, the sheer amount of people panicking. Well, so-and-so's now coming. Cousin Dewey, he's bringing his girlfriend. We didn't get a gift for her. What are we going to do? We got more people coming. I don't know if I have enough cookies. I hope you're not panicking like that. But some people do. Listen, if you've got a dozen cookies in your house, oh, how rich you are. Are we going to have enough of this? Are we going to have enough of that? If you've got more than just your family in the house and everyone's fed, you're doing better. Better than most. Oh, man, the gifts that I give, are they going to be nice enough? If you've got extra to give to people, that's pretty nice. That's pretty nice. Go for a ride down to Flint tonight. Better yet, don't. In your mind. There's people out there in the freezing cold. And you're wondering if that sweater you paid $45 for your daughter-in-law, is going to fit her. You have what you need. And you have more than you need. I'm sitting there in my house last night just kind of looking around. And we got more than we need. We got everything we need. Now, are we ever going to make it to Forbes? You know, top 10? No. But as a matter of fact, if I had that much money, I wouldn't want anybody to know it. Don't you dare put me in a magazine. Somebody asked me one time, Matt, what would you do if you won the lottery? Well, first of all, I'd have to try to figure out how I got a ticket. Second of all, I ain't telling nobody. I said, well, what would you do? I go, I would show up to work the next morning with my lips zipped tight. You'd ask me how I was doing? I'm doing good. Tell nobody. The treasurer at the church will find out about it. I ain't telling nobody. My wife's looking over at me. She goes, no, you're going to buy something stupid. I know you're going to. You'll tell on yourself immediately. You'll buy something stupid. We have more than enough. Even if you're struggling, look at what you have. You know, to the person with the giant mansion, they're not happy. Why? Because Joe Schmo down the street, he's got a bigger one. You know, you got a TV. You look over at your neighbor, they got a bigger TV. Look at you over there with the TV. You got a house, they got a house. One house is bigger than the other house. Aren't you glad to be warm and inside? A lot of folks don't have that luxury. You know, oh, well, I rent, they bought. I bought, they rent. Depending on your opinions on the matter. There's a lot of back and forth. Which one's better? Either way, you're warm, you're good. I wish I could show you some of the postage stamps that my wife and I have lived in. We had a house down in, can't remember the name of it now. This tiny little room. Man, if we were to, it was a two-bedroom house, but the bedrooms were no bigger than some of your closets. One of them had just enough room for a desk and a washer and dryer. Not a real washer and dryer. One of those ones that you can kind of run water to, you know what I mean? Just move them out to the sink and turn it on. We had a bathroom you had to step out of to turn around in. And because it was our first little place, we were happy as clams. We were happy to be married, happy to be together, happy that God had blessed us with this ability. We were so happy. We didn't know how small it was till we moved out of it. What we moved into was the top half of a duplex. It was probably no bigger than the other place. We started filling it with kids. One, and then another one. It wasn't until we started looking at until she got pregnant with Gideon, we realized we're probably in trouble here. So what do? We moved to another place. Everyone sufficient. Oh, did we have to take jobs maybe we didn't like to have them? Absolutely. Did we have to work longer than necessarily we wanted to? All the time. But you know what we had at the end? Exactly what we needed. There's nothing on this earth we need to be stressed about. Well, what if the past due notices start to build up? What if the government starts doing this, right? We're talking about government being on his shoulder. Well, brother, how are you talking about being content with house of command? A lot of times we put those two together. We were just talking about the price of eggs. I'm sitting there going, we're going to need to start getting chickens or at least one ostrich. The way we go through eggs, man, I'm telling you. Maybe one or two of them, but man, the ostriches are crazy. Well, the government this and the economics that and the this and the that and the... That's all the Lord. He'll take care of it. What are we going to get broken spirited over? Worrying about things so far out of our control. Did you vote? That's what you got. You got your vote. That's the way we handle things. But other than that, who do we rely on? The Lord. Look at these evil people. I don't like them up in there. I don't like them up in the controlling places either. Man, I wish God took them all out. I wish it was all blood-bought believers down there in Washington, over there in Lansing. I wish. But even if there are terribly evil people and there are in charge of government, you think they're going to be able to do something God doesn't let them do? And if God lets them do it, you think it's because he doesn't have a plan? He's just like, oh, the one got away from me? No, he has a plan for that. It might be uncomfortable, but he's got a plan for that. Now, again, you catch me, I'm voting to get the evil out. I'm not okay with it. But even if it's there, if the devil can't do anything without God telling him to, what makes you think a Nancy Pelosi or whatever these guys are, what makes you think they're going to be able to pull one past God? If he takes care of the lilies, if he's got his eye on the sparrow, what is this world going to do to you? And let's say that it does, like it did to so many other Christians, where the world worked against them and jailed them and killed them and whatever have you. Again, we're in America, we're free for it for a while. It's coming, but we're free for a while. What happens if the card does flip and now we're in trouble? We wake up in heaven, that's what we do. We wake up in heaven, that's what we do. There is nothing, government or no, that could take place in this world, my God cannot handle. He heals my spirit. He binds the wounding in my spirit by first saving me. And then what? Providing me safety and security. Even when I don't feel like what I'm walking on is safe, I know that God will take care of it. One way or the other. You ask any child of God who's ever loved him and served him, every time they put their foot in the direction God told them to go, he was there. Oh, there was times where you had to reduce, and there's times where things swell out and everything's wonderful and the blessings flow. But you never beg. You're never so down and out. Part of having a wounded spirit is just that expectation of things that never come. My friends, if we're always waiting for things to go exactly our way, of course you're frustrated. Of course you're broken. And those things, if all we're looking at is what's not going right, we're going to get worse. And I say that to you, for those of you who've had some experience traveling on this little blue ball. Because that's when it gets you the most. when things start to not seem as rosy, right? When way too many people who used to come to Christmas no longer to come to Christmas because they're not around anymore. When you start to attend more funerals than weddings. When you've got medical problems and medical bills stacking up, it's easy for that insecurity to come. When you turn and you look and you see that your kids have slipped off from the way that you raised them and the grandkids are maybe even doing a little bit worse, it tries on you. And you look over at the system around them that the devil has built from entertainment to education and you go, well, that's not good. And you see the government passing bills to make things even harder. And you go, that's really not good. It's easy to get a wounded spirit. But instead, what do? Lord, it is in your hands. What is it that David said? The battle belongs to the Lord. And he does not lose. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. You ready? Wonderful. My spirit gets healed and strengthened when I remember how wonderful my God is. He saved me. He heals my emotional hurts. Some took longer than others. And I'm sure, like me, you're still waiting for God to heal some. But healing takes place. You know what else he does? He intercedes for me. That's how much God loves us. That's how much Christ loves us, as he sits on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. That one's mine. I paid for him. That sin there, he's asking for forgiveness. That's covered. That's who he is. He is wonderful. Ask the woman with the issue of blood if he is wonderful. Ask the woman that was set to be stoned to death for her adultery. She will say, he is wonderful. Ask the Roman soldier who had the daughter who was sick. He is wonderful. Ask the disciples, Mary Magdalene. Ask any of them what Jesus was, who he was. And they will say that he is without a doubt wonderful. Counselor. What do you need a counselor for? To fix problems you got, right? Either to give you advice, right? We take counsel. You know, I'll have problems every now and then. I take counsel with some pastors that I know. Hey, pastors, what do you think about this? You know, I've got this thing I'm trying to work out. I've got this thing in Scripture I don't understand. Do it all the time. Absolutely love to hear some of their wisdom. A lot of the times they agree. I don't tell them when they disagree. I keep it quiet. Just shh. Don't want to start no fights. But I love asking, what do you think about this? And sometimes you need a counselor, someone to give you advice, someone to give you encouragement, someone that you can cry on their shoulders a little bit, but get godly advice from. And who is that if not Jesus Christ? Should he not be our counselor? Should he not be the one we go to for advice? Well, how do I go to the Lord for advice? You got to read it. You got to read it. I am just convinced that the majority of people who call themselves Christians have never read that book all the way through. Now, I'm not saying the Christians I know here, but the majority of people who call themselves Christians, they haven't touched that book. And if they have touched that book, it is not as thoroughly as they should be. Well, how do you know that? Because they've got some slick-tongued preachers who are teaching them lies, and they don't catch it. They don't catch it. I referenced that movie, Mary, on Netflix. If you sit there and you look at that and you go, huh, I never knew any of that. Joel Osteen and Netflix fooled you. That's who paid for it, Joel Osteen. If you're sitting there thinking you learned anything from that nonsense, they got you. And the people that gets, you ain't read the book. You turn on contemporary Christian music nowadays, and you hear them talking about things never happened in the Bible. Promises God gave, never gave in the Bible. Man, I am sure glad this bunch of teenagers was able to tell me something I couldn't read in the Bible because I only read the Bible. It's a good thing they're here to give me God's new revelation. Well, you got to take some creative liberties, not with the Word of God. You want to take some creative liberties? Go get creative with Dr. Seuss. Don't touch God. He's very particular. He's very vengeful when it comes down to doing anything to his word. We got to be careful. Not that I'm against modern music. Please don't. But man, if you're listening to something and it ain't scripturally right, stop listening to that one. Counselor, it is from him I hear. It is from him I handle things. Well, what am I supposed to do with me? You know, my sister-in-law, she's like this, and I have a problem with that. And oh, don't forget about my aunts. Oh, man, anybody have a weird aunt or a weird uncle in their family? That's my problem, man. My niece, she's got a weird uncle, too. But now I just, combative people. I've got combative people in my side of the family. We'll go see Danielle's side of the family. Like, oh, so what are you doing with yours? I go, well, you don't go over there. Why? I don't want my kids to see that. I don't. People fighting, brothers and sisters-in-law going at it, aunts and uncles going at it. Why? Because they're bored. I don't know about your family. I've diagnosed my family. I ain't even a therapist. I'll tell you, they're bored. And they need something to scratch at. And I've just seen people just blow each other apart. I've seen divorces take place. Why? Because they're just scratching at each other. Well, what am I supposed to do about my crazy uncle? What am I supposed to do about my brother? What am I supposed to do about this person, that person? Have you tried to forgive them? Well, that's not what I was looking to see. Well, no, but that's what Jesus would have told you to do. He said it so often himself. As a matter of fact, it was a common thread. I've been there with my brother where we had issues, and he probably wouldn't mind me telling you, so don't feel bad hearing it. My brother and I, we fell out bad. And I'll be honest with you, it was his fault. I'm not just saying that because that's what brothers say. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, he knew it was his fault. We didn't have a relationship for the longest time. Broke my dad's heart. Not because I was angry at him, but because he had done something of such just not happy with it. I couldn't be near him. Somebody came up to me, you ought to forgive your brother. Well, I'm not angry at him. I'm just distancing. Social distancing. Now you're angry at him. No, I don't think I had to ask my brother to forgive me for being so angry. And I had to forgive him. Now what he did, wasn't okay. But I was harboring anger at him. You know what? It worked. It helped what was going on right here. I had a wounded spirit because I was carrying sin I had no right to carry. You know what I had to do? I had to forgive him. And I've had to do that with several other relationships as well. Why? Because the first thing that happens when you tell someone they might be bitter, what do? I'm not bitter. Okay. Are you angry at him? No. Okay. Just going to stop before you get not angry at me. What would Jesus say? Forgive them. There are biblical principles in the New Testament we ignore all the time. And we wonder why our spirit is wounded. Because that's not the way you're supposed to work. It's like people that use flat-headed screwdrivers as pry bars. Why is your screwdriver all bent? I don't know. Because you used it in a way you weren't supposed to. So now it's ruined. You're a child of God. You're supposed to act like a child of God. You're supposed to have kindness and meekness. You're not supposed to be a terror out there. You're supposed to be a decent human being as Christ was a decent human being. He taught a lot of things. Look at the Beatitudes. Do we fit these? So many things that Christ represented to us. And if we just follow his advice and follow his examples, we would have less wounding of our spirit, and we might actually heal. Wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, and the everlasting Father. Jesus boldly proclaimed to an unbelieving Israelites, I and the Father are one. And I tell you what, in almost every book you read in Scripture, you'll find that to be true. In the book of Genesis, where God talks to himself and he says, "Let us." We see in other passages of Scripture, there are three that bear witness: the Father, the Spirit, and the Word. They are one and three. Can't figure that out? We'll see that in heaven. We'll work that out in heaven. But we see them being one. As I speak to God, I'm speaking to all three. And that is exactly what he showed himself to be: a mighty God, one who conquered death, one who is able to bear not just their sins, but our sins, him himself having none. He could bear all of our sin that day on the cross, and God taking his eyes away to boot. We see finally the Prince of Peace. And after all, does that not make sense? If I have a wounded spirit, wouldn't I want to go to the Prince of Peace? That's many of our issues. Why are you so frustrated all the time? You got no peace. Why you got no peace? Because you've separated yourself and your usage away from Christ. Maybe you got some silliness going on. Maybe you got some sin going on. Maybe you're not doing things the way you know you ought to, whatever. You need the Prince of Peace. So we go to Christ. We go to the Lord in prayer and we say, "Lord, give me peace." And sometimes it's not like this: "Lord, I need a big fat pile of money." Sometimes it's this, like my friend from back in the apartment days: "Lord, show me how to better use what I have." Because after all, this person, she was pulling in money, but she was throwing more of it out. You know, when you're bringing in $5,000-$6,000 a month, and you're running in the red $2,000-$3,000 every month, you don't need more. You need to handle what you have. "Oh, Lord, give me patience." You don't need more patience. You need to work what you have. You need forgiveness. You need long-suffering. You need gratitude. That's what you need. You don't need that gifted to you. You got all the materials. Do it. You don't order a pizza when you got dough and pepperoni and cheese and all that stuff at home. You build with what God gave you. What did he say? "Lord, give us more faith." What did he say to them? You need more faith. You need to exercise what you have. Do what I tell you to do. That's faith. And what will we have? Peace. When those bills come to the door, you'll say, "Father, give me opportunity to make more. Father, give me the resources. Give me the ability. Give me what I need." When the doctor sits there and says, "All right, we got your test results back. We need you to come in. Bring somebody with you." You know it's going to be all right. Because win, lose, or draw, you're going to heaven. You serve a God who's healed far worse. If he can heal death, he can heal whatever you got. And if he chooses not to heal you, it just means he wants to see you in the throne room. And we can rejoice in these things. It is about the connection between our heart and God's. That's it. Man, I know some of the cares and concerns you guys have, and I wonder. Because these things, over long periods of time, some of you are worried about family members. Some of you are worried about finances. Some of you are worried about health. Some of you are worried about a lot of things. Maybe not worried, but you've got things that could cause worry. Some of you that live in chronic pain, I pray for the strength of your spirit every day. Some of you that are going through transitions, you know, I think Brother Mike, they're buying a new house. I pray for that because I've done that a couple times in my life, and man, I felt thin. I mean, not like this, that'd be nice, but I have to get you laughing when you look too serious on me. Some of you worry. Some of you, I could tell, man, this would take a toll. And it doesn't surprise me that it would take a toll. But what I tell you is this. Strengthen your spirit through God. And you'll bear this. Because everything that would cause you to worry, he's going to say, I've got you. Isn't that nice? When was the last time somebody put their arm around your shoulder and said, I got your back? Don't you know that God does that for you every waking minute of your life? He'll even get your back while you're sleeping. How about that? And if the whole world fails you and your body gives up on you, he'll be waiting for you on the other side. So you know what? If the slippers ain't the right color, if the sweater's not the right size, if you can't go out because you got the sniffles, don't you worry a thing. You look at what God has done in your life and you strengthen that spirit. And you know, not by your merits, but by his, you're going to get through it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, to be able to say those last words, oh, Lord, let me never forget them. Because, Father, I fear sometimes I'm the worst of everybody here. Lord, please help us to have strong spirits. Help us, Lord, to cling to you, to look to you as a counselor, Lord, as our Father. One who is reliable, one who is loving and kind, and one who is consistent in taking care of us. Father, help us never to get arrogant in our successes, but to instead, Father, praise you for them and celebrate, Lord, with you in mind. Lord, I know many people here in this building, they need a blessing. Father, many need more than just one. Father, help us with our families. Help us with our bodies. Help us with our whatevers. Lord, you know the cares and concerns of every person in this room. And I just, Lord, help us to remember that we have you. And Lord, it is important for our spirit that you have us. And help us, Lord, give ourselves wholly over to you. Lord, knowing this, that without you, that spirit of ours is going to get wounded. Lord, help us to stay strong. We love you, Lord, and we're appreciative for everything you've given us. For its name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.